I'm going to talk of the basic theory of definitions and to invite you by this understanding
about
definitions to know what you were studying and give you some clue as to how you can study it.
A definition very close to a signal flag, very close to the dip dah on a telegraph code, dip dah, a flag which is flying up toward the truck of a naval vessel, means a certain thing. And what do you think would happen on a railroad if the dispatchers all up and down the line had different opinions on what did dah was? It'd be very interesting. Trains would go off the rails and pre-clears would perish in the middle of processing and all sorts of things would happen. Dip dah. Now, a definition, semantically, is a precise thing. Insofar as possible, the definitions which have been used in Dianetics and Scientology are semantically not confused with other words, other terms, and other sciences. They have been picked out either to mean just exactly what they mean in English, the Webster Dictionary definition, or they mean something very precise, and they mean what they mean in Scientology. They don't mean what they mean in Deuteronomy or some such mathematics. Now, whenever you have people trying to talk to people, you have the necessity of a communication code. Now, this communication code is in the form of symbols. A symbol is something which is wrapped in energy, which is mobile. That's all a symbol is. It's an idea wrapped in energy, which is mobile. Now, therefore, the letter A that you see, the article A, designating article, in a book, of course, is an idea, that is a definitive article, which is wrapped up in energy, and which is mobile. It's mobile because the book is mobile. Also because it's been duplicated many times, and that adds to its mobility. People only have trouble with symbols who have trouble with moving around. That's, you get one of these pre-clears that you say to him, well, it's rather obvious that an aberrated person, would, and he says, no, just a minute, what do you mean an aberrated person? And you say, oh, well, an aberrated person, one who doesn't see things straight, one who is having a difficult time perceiving, one who has peculiar ideas, you know, every time he sees a shrimp cocktail, he's sure there's a dead mouse in it. You know, average Homo sapiens. And so then you sail on trying to complete your idea, and just a minute, aberration. Now, I read a book once by a fellow by the name of Jingle Puss, and he defined aberration as the innate wrongness of man. Now, what does this word have to do with the moral value of it? And you say, well, this person who has aberrations, who isn't quite looking at things right, is, and he says, now just a minute, well, what do you exactly mean by not looking at something right? And you say, how long has it been since you've read Science and Sanity? The fellow says, I'm a student of Science and Sanity. I studied general semantics for years and years and years, and I haven't been able to talk since.
They actually teach them in universities today that nobody can ever communicate with anybody because nobody else knows what you exactly mean by what you mean. That's because nobody can mean what one means because there's such deep significance to everything that there can't be any significance to it anyhow because nobody can say what anybody else is going to say because the words that they use as they mean don't mean what they mean. They mean something else, you see? And on this clear definition, we go no place. So well knowing.
Oh, well, Krzyzewski, by the way, is a tremendous fellow. There's a lot of people who study Krzyzewski, though we're already having symbolical difficulty.
And when we have a problem in what you mean and what the other fellow means, we just have a problem in the two of you not having agreed on what you meant in the first place by the word. You can have. Nail this one down. I mean, just get out railroad spikes and sledgehammers and nail this down because it's true. You can mean exactly what he knows you mean. He can know exactly what you mean when you say symbol.
Now, when a naval vessel runs up,
turn 9. They mean 90 degree turn to the right. And when they say turn 9 and execute, the ship that doesn't is apt to get awful dented. Language itself is on this definition. If you could just, here and there, you find it pretty clear that he just got that idea. All of a sudden, that he was understood.
That he could say things that would be understood. That people did know what he was talking about.
Most of his difficulty in existence would cease. Because day after day, he is involved with communicating and communication of ideas to his fellows. And if they are bogging down on basic words, then his main idea is not getting through. They've never learned to speak English if they learned that it always meant something else. That person cannot speak a language who doesn't know what the words of the language are. Well, this is not actually study. One of the biggest bugaboos that a person crosses in terms of communication is how it communicates at all. Now, if you're going to ask questions about words, if you're going to ask questions about symbols, that's the one you want to ask. How on earth can it ever get across? How on earth can a symbol ever bridge a gap of space and register with the rapidity that it does? And this in itself is a miracle. If you didn't have the basic knowingness to know what I was going to say before I said it, you wouldn't be able to understand what I was talking about in the first place. So why do you get it down to words? That's the truth of the matter.
But if you're going to sit there worrying about the words and worrying about what one is saying and so forth, then you never run into this type of knowingness. This knowingness never registers. So the best way to get rid of it is to get rid of confusion about words and to get terrific agreement so that everybody can be relaxed on the subject of words. Get a big agreement on what you mean by that word. And every time you've introduced a new strange word, why, be very sure that you said exactly what it meant in terms of other symbols and defined it in such a way as there never afterwards will be a confusion as to what was being said. People avoid knowing. They avoid knowing to the degree that they depend upon symbols to tell them. They avoid knowing so that an individual could come up to them. Some individuals in an insane asylum or something, I imagine you could run in and say, the place is on fire, the back door is that way, walk out in the yard, and they would stand there and wonder whether or not you had used door or four, and would stand there and puzzle and get all burned up. Well, maybe they wanted to be burned up, but that's beside the point. The only thing we're talking about is, did they understand you? And the answer is no. Why? They can't know. Why are they insane? That's all. They can't know. And when we get into this problem of communication, every time we introduce new words, we must do two things. Say exactly what it meant in terms of other words and give some example of it. And when we've done this, the air is clear. But there's another rule back of all of these codes of communication, and that is introduce as few new words as possible. And only introduce them where no further confusion will result after their introduction. If you're going to introduce a new word, introduce it only because there's been confusion on the point or because the datum has never been observed before. And introduce as few as possible. You'll notice now in the last many months that the number of new words being introduced in Scientology have been very few indeed. And the use of old ones has to a large degree, 50% or more, been dropped. So our vocabulary is actually dwindling, and taking its place is just straight basic English. The name of a process
ordinarily defines that process by the exact
process
in English. And the only new thing there is about it is that combination of words that mean a process. Let's talk about acceptance level processing.
Oh, now, there's no new words there. You have some sort of an inkling of it when you say acceptance level. Acceptance level, it's kind of a new idea. People have acceptance level. Yeah, they have a level. There's a certain strata, then, of things that are acceptable to them. And if you just had the words acceptance level processing, you'd go on and ponder for a very few minutes, and you would probably come up with acceptance level processing. What is acceptable to people?
Well, this is fabulous, by the way. It opens up a field of study that man can have a good time with for an awful long time.
It is not necessarily a good therapy, but it does something. It demonstrates to the preclear, and it demonstrates widely what is acceptable to people. It introduces this new concept that it may be that certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't acceptable, and that these acceptabilities are contrary to what people actually believe. Let's take Hollywood, for instance, and let's give Hollywood some opportunity of discovering what is an acceptable picture to the public. Is it the acceptable picture that they paid at the box office to see? Now, that is Hollywood's test. What pictures are best attended? That's their sole means of learning on this. As a consequence, they simply go further and further and further and further from a public acceptance of their pictures, and the people stay away from box offices and mobs. It isn't just TV these days. It was all those B, C, D, and E pictures they were making back there in 39. Oh, boy. He's speaking of boredom. It murdered them. Murdered the audience. It's just brutal. They're showing him on TV now. Anyway,
here we have an actual process by which a scout, was calling an acceptance level scout, be imaginative about this. They just build this terrific production up the way they do in Hollywood. We have this idea of the central acceptance level office, you see, of the studio, and they have these scouts that go out and they find the acceptance level certain straight of parts. What would they do? They would just run this process on people until they found out what the person could accept in mock-up form. And boy, they would certainly discover that it was an awful lot different than most people think it is.
There are two strata. There is the strata where an individual has forced upon him a certain thing he believes is publicly acceptable, and then there's the other thing which he knows is really acceptable to him. And between these two things, we get a wide divergence sometimes. So everybody walks around with a game of let's pretend. They go around at this public acceptance level. They do this and they do that. They own this and they own that. They go here and they go there simply because they believe that this is publicly acceptable. So everybody plays at this game. So you get a false culture that has really nothing very much to do with the culture as it really is. What is the acceptance level of the culture? Well, it's what the individual himself really, privately, will accept. Let's take this fellow. He lives in this nice house. His wife keeps everything very nice for him and keeps the children clean. It's just so marvelous. And he gets his car washed all the time. He's miserable. He's unhappy all the time. And finally winds up in the hands of somebody trying to make him less unhappy. And I almost said the truth. He winds up in anybody's hands outside of Scientology. You're just getting less happy. That's right. All right. Here's this fellow with his beautiful home and everything in good order, so on. And you, a Scientologist, start to straighten him up. One of the things that you could consult immediately about this individual, if you want to treat him just as an individual, would be, what is his acceptance level? And you find out that his acceptance level is old shoes and a dirty stove and one small room with a wallpaper off of it and an old tin can for a car that has blowouts every few blocks and kids dirty and nobody bothering them, letting them get into anything they want to and tearing everything up. And you'll find out he has the acceptance level of a tramp. Here he is on this terrible strain. And one day he has a nervous breakdown. Well, it's because he can't have anything. And you as an individual, you say, well, this is silly. This fellow can't have anything like this. He has a good income. He has this beautiful home. He has a wife. He has all these children. He has all these nice... He can't have anything. He has everything. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have a thing. It's all above his acceptance level.
He can't have anything except what he can have. And that's the question you ask this fellow, what can he have? Now you have this fellow who has $18,665 a month income. He's miserable all the time. Well, let's consult what his acceptance level is. Well, we start running acceptance level processing. It's a very easy process. You just say, mark up some money. He says, I can't. What's his acceptance level? No money. Probably easy process, isn't it? You know, we have to waste money. We have to say, all right, now mark up you wasting some money. He says, how am I going to waste it? You say, that's up to you. You just mark up yourself wasting this money. No, that really wouldn't be wasting it. And let's see, get this frog to swallow it. No, that wouldn't be wasting it because, well, I don't know, somebody might get him for frog's legs and find it in him. No, that wouldn't be wasting it. Let's see, throw it in the bottom of the sea. No, the sea might empty someday, and somebody might find it there. That wouldn't waste it. Let's see. Now, how would you waste this money? You burn it up. No, you wouldn't be wasting it then because you'd be making a bright light with it. See, how can you waste this money? This fellow makes $18,672.42 a month. He can't have any money. Fantastic, isn't it? Well, he's going to get himself so involved that his business will crash and everything else. Why? Because he can't have money, so he has to fix it up so he can't have money. And he'll work like mad to fix it up so he can't have money, too. His father dies and leaves him this enormous fortune, and 6 years later, he's flat broke. Well, he couldn't have the money, that's all. If you as a Scientologist had gotten in to run acceptance level processing on money, you would have first built him up to a point where he could have some money, and then where he could have this money, and after that, he'd be perfectly happy in having the money. Does it take very long to run it? No. Well, let's take this talent scout who goes out, or this acceptance level scout, and he goes out and he finds out that this kind of picture and that kind of picture, these people can't mock this up. And he finds out finally that the kind of picture they really will accept is such and such a picture. The villain wins in the end. The beautiful woman is tortured and killed in the next to the last reel. They're just dead bodies all over the street, see? Oh, boy. And musical interludes. No musical interludes. Not acceptable. And all of a sudden, Hollywood winds up with a horrible fact. They couldn't be further from driving people away from the box office. They couldn't work at it harder than what they're doing right this minute. They make these big, beautiful, gorgeous, these huge triple-dimension screens, you know, 18 sizes too big in all directions, and film it all in gaudy color, and everybody is all sleeked up, and the girl of the piece, she's all sleeked up, and everybody's all sleeked up, and the plot's running off, and the good guy wins in the end, and the strong guy gets killed, and gee, that's not acceptable to people. You know, they stay away from those big screens like mad. By the time a fellow sat down with one of those screens and seen a 25-foot woman leaning over him, he's gotten re-stimulated. Well, then, what's acceptable? Well, doggone it, it's not what the public thinks is acceptable. That's no way to say. They talk amongst each other, and they all agreed now that what's acceptable is so-and-so, and this basic shallow agreement isn't what's acceptable to any one of them. Until one has raised the acceptance level of the public as a whole, it's not going to go any place but down. Why? They're trying to get down there to where they can have a nickel. They're trying to get up, rather, to where they can have a nickel. I was running my boy one day, Nibs. He's developed into quite an auditor. He's one of the best there is. And he still was having an awful lot of difficulty on the subject of money. And he was, once in a while, he gets all cross-eyed on the subject of money. So I worked with him for about 10 minutes, and we found out rather uproariously that he couldn't have a nickel. It was impossible for him to accept a nickel. And he could accept a penny. Well, we didn't have very much time. We were just walking down the street doing what you call coffee shop processing. And I love kind of that processing done. Most of the pre-clears I pick up are re-stimulated in some coffee shop, and the session was knocked off when the waiter dropped a stack of dishes. But anyway, a couple of days later, he looked at me rather ecstatically. He met me outside the door of the office, and he said, "Say, you know, I can accept 5 cents." And the little time went by, and I gave it over 5 or 10 minutes of processing on something or other, and he happened to slice sideways in this, and we just wasted a bracket on the subject of money again, so forth. And he was walking down the street about a foot off the pavement. He just found out he could accept 50 cents. But this was real acceptance. He actually could accept 50 cents. 50 cents was real to him. Money before never had been. It was just sort of stuff. You have somebody having a little bit of trouble with money. He said, "I can't have any money. It's impossible." That's right. He can't have any money. You start to get his acceptance level on the subject of money. No money. He can't have money. He won't make money either. We did an insidious and horrible thing to a pre-clear not too long ago. We set him up and processed him up to the point where $100,000 was quite real. He made it. Just like that. There's several of them. There's a couple of one particular one around here that was built up that way. He didn't practice Scientology particularly. All he did was went out and he got us up to his acceptance level of money, which was a couple hundred thousand bucks. Interesting, isn't it? How can you expect somebody to accept a picture if he can't accept a picture? Accept a dollar if he can't accept a dollar? He'll try to throw the dollar away. He'll try to throw the picture away. He'll try to get rid of what he can't have. Now we start looking through and carrying on the subject of definitions. What's an acceptable definition to somebody? Well, it has to be awfully brief and awfully plain and darn few of them. Now, that's a little above people's acceptance level of definitions. But so that we can raise an acceptance level on definitions, why, we have to have a few of these code signals, and without them, we get no further definitions are acceptable. Fascinating thing, code. Second unit, Camden course. These people, all of them with auditing experience, who had quite a bit of training, were given an examination. And I would hate to tell you what they made in this examination, but it was just on definitions. It went into things like this. What's the cycle of action of the mesh universe? What are the 8 dynamics? What is an engram? What is memory? Present time? The most elementary answer would have done. We collected these back from these poor folks, mostly blank. They didn't know. And yet they were supposed to be talking with one another and listening to tapes which concern these very items. Fascinating. Well, we had several of the cases were not coming along well. They were doing quote processing, and they weren't getting anywhere one with another. They just weren't getting anywhere. First few days there. We sailed into them on the subject of definitions and hammered and pounded and beat on the subject of definitions. What is a thetan? What is a thetan? What is a thetan? And then just for variation, what's a thetan? Okay, now you think you know. All right, tell me what it is. I mean, just as idiotic as this. And do you know that their auditing did a curve, climb, which is about as steep as one that could be made with a jet plane? All of a sudden they knew all about it. Why? They knew some of the basic words. Something else had happened, too. Their cases had jumped up so that they had some acceptability in knowing. They could accept some knowledge. Remarkable. What's acceptance level? What's acceptance level of knowledge? What's your acceptance level of knowledge? Boy, that's a raw question. It isn't geometry, let me assure you that. You wouldn't find geometry acceptable. You undoubtedly would find very poor acceptance on your part on the subject of the Latin names of the parts of the heart. You probably wouldn't find that acceptable. And if you couldn't accept money, let me show you this. Very, very sharply, let me show you this. If you couldn't accept money, then you wouldn't find acceptable knowledge as to how you made $1 million. You see that? If you can't have money, then you couldn't have the knowledge as to how to make money. So you just keep that barred out very nicely and beautifully, and you wouldn't pay much attention to it. So we get acceptance level then as a, not a therapy, but a learning. Don't use it too much as a process. An individual picks it up on the way through. But what's your acceptance level in terms of health right now? Well, I'll show you how to get this. Mark up the child out in front of you that is acceptable to your mother. Mark it up again. 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 The child acceptable to your mother. Again. Again. How sick is this kid? Again. Again. Mark up this child acceptable now to your father. Again, this child is acceptable to your father. Again. What's happening to these mock-ups? That's it. Dead. All right, just keep mocking these dead kids up. Acceptable to your father. Some of you just tried to mock up a healthy child and it just didn't go anyplace or do anything. All right, let's just get the kind of child acceptable to your father. Keep marking it up. Now, did you get a markup anywhere there where the markup just went toward father like that? Who got that phenomenon? Well, now you're marking them up too high. Now, let's just mark up various states of deadness, beingness, sickness, obedience, or something of the sort, until we get one that goes out toward father. I just test around there until we get this thing that suddenly rushes to papa. Got one? You get one yet? Surely you hit one there that you know was acceptable to Papa. Well, let's try to find that one. Pimple down here has a dazed look. Okay. Did you find one? You found one yet? You don't sound very certain yet. Now, let's get our sights down. Let's get this kid smashed in the street, just getting him run over by a truck, and see if that one works. Being obedient at the same time. Papa accept that one? Well, fish around there. Do you find that one that's acceptable to Papa? Got them yet? What kind of a child was acceptable to your father? Do you have a little? Yeah. All right. Do you have a little inkling of that now? Do you have a little more inkling of what was acceptable to your father? All right. Let's mark up the kind of a person that's acceptable to you right now. Come on. Let's mark up the kind of a person that's acceptable to you. Got it? Now, just get one that you're real sure is acceptable to you. Now, not what you think people ought to think you ought to be finding acceptable, you know. But what you find really acceptable to you. Mark it up. Now, let's mark you up. The kind of a person you think is acceptable to the general public. Just throw this markup out there until the general public sort of soaks it up. mock-up of you as you would be very acceptable to the general public. Mock-up of you very acceptable to the general public. Now, very acceptable to the person closest to you. Now, let's get a mock-up of the kind of person that's now acceptable to you. Has it changed? Yeah. All right, now the kind of person that's acceptable to you. Okay, now let's throw some mock-ups out of you which are acceptable again to the general public. That changed a little bit? Mock-up that's acceptable to the general public. Okay. Now throw some mock-ups out there that are acceptable again to you. Okay. All right, that's the end of that moment of processing. Did you learn something out of this? Didn't learn anything yet. Did you learn something out of this? Mm-hmm. Tell me you learned something out of this. How I know is, if your level of acceptance is, of yourself, is poor, what do you think you're going to do with yourself through editing? Are you going to make yourself better or worse? You know, as many a preacher sits down whose acceptance level of himself is so poor that he simply sits down in that chair in front of you to be made sick so that he becomes acceptable to himself. His acceptance level of himself may be sick and complaining. Then he can have him. And you're going to work like mad to make this person well. To make him well, well, what a horrible thing to do to him. Make him so he's completely unacceptable to himself. Did you ever have a dog, and did you ever have that dog be only a happy dog when he was very dirty? And this dog, you went and got him, and you cleaned him all up, you know. And he looked at himself, and he sighed. He was beautiful. You know, he was just beautiful. I mean, you had him all curled, and those ribbons looked so cute on him, or something like that. He sort of looked at himself. If you put perfume on him to make him even more acceptable to the world at large, he would have taken a sniff at himself and felt very bad. Well, I've seen dogs like that get so sleeked up that they became so unacceptable to themselves that they went out, they just couldn't stand it till he got outside and found a mud puddle. Then you'd see him a few minutes later, happy again. Filthy days. Well, now, you want to know why your preacher is just down there in the auditing chair, you know, and you fix him all up, and he feels real good, and he comes back the next day, and you know, I feel horrible. What's he doing this for? You're just fighting his own acceptance level of himself, that's all. You just keep on doing this. You can go up and down and up and down. Now, finally, what you will do, really, is you will actually, through the processes of SOPHC, finally build his own pride up to a point where this remedies itself without any further attention. But it's the basic underlying reason why you have trouble with some preclers. Their acceptance level of themselves is worse off. I ran a precler one day. Oh, this person used to come around all the time and complain, you know, I think I must be going crazy. It just seems to me like I'm just going mad. I'm going crazy. All of a sudden, these lights appear in front of my face, and I just, this fellow's ordinarily in perfectly good condition, but he'd been run for a little while. And so I sat it down, gave him a little bit of a session. I said, all right, mark yourself up going crazy. Mark yourself up 4 or 5 times going crazy. No, he says. No, I'm not.
I said, you're not what?
He says, by golly. He says, you know, because I just remembered that my grandmother was only acceptable with my grandfather after she went crazy. And I've been trying to go crazy for years.
We mocked him up a few more times. But you know what the gimmick was? The gimmick, to be very colloquial? Craziness was too high on the acceptance level for him. Crazy was way up. The only way, he wasn't acceptable to himself dead. He was acceptable to himself having become dead by madness. And he became acceptable to himself only when he had rotted for 2 or 3 days.
And we picked that in on the case level, and we found out that we just started marking those up. So we marked up 3 or 4 dozen of them, and the man's perception came way up, and his case began to advance rapidly, and everything got to be fine. Why? The acceptance level of himself was too far south for him even to imagine.
He had been raised by a very precise family. Their acceptance level of him was very clean, very orderly, very quiet, a little bit sick, a medium state of ill health. All of his teachers found this very acceptable. Everybody found this acceptable. He used to wish he was dead, but that wasn't acceptable to him, to them. They'd say, what do you mean, a nice little boy like you, thinking that vicious, wicked thought? So he couldn't even think of himself as dead. And this became very, very, very bad, because if he couldn't, that wasn't acceptable to him. Just being dead wasn't acceptable to him. But dead and rotted for a couple of days, that was. And you never saw a man with such self-satisfaction as when he finally hit that level and ran it. You try to pick up a culture that basically on the surface, because of what it reads in the magazines and so forth, is trying to carry on at a certain level under terrible strain and duress. Because that's a surface acceptance level. Now, lying below that acceptance level is an entirely different strata. You want to look for hidden meanings, or what lies back of, or what looks beyond, or what is the significance of something. So that's all the significance there is. The fellow isn't acceptable to himself. His fellows aren't acceptable to him. Now, what's the acceptance level of a Thetan? Nothing. That's it. Nothing. Never occurs to anybody to mock up nothing. You know, never occurs to anybody to mock up and duplicate nothing. All right. Right now, mock up nothing in front of you. Now duplicate it. Now duplicate it. Just make another one. Just like it. Now look around you somewhere and find the nothingness that you're right sure is a nothingness. Now duplicate it. Now duplicate it. Duplicate it again. Get another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. Get some more. Throw them all away. That's the acceptance level of the Thetan. Q&A, question and answer. What is the answer to a flagpole? A flagpole. What is the answer to nothing? Nothing. What's the answer to a sick child? A sick child. And this is acceptance level, and this is terminals in action, and this is a lot of things. It's a lot of things in processing. So, many a pre-clear sits down in front of you to get sick. And to become nothing. And one day after you've processed him for a long while, the walls are kind of gone and his body's kind of gone and there's holes in the floor. And you say, this is weird. This man shouldn't be going in that direction. He ought to be getting much better shape and his perceptions ought to be getting better. And what's the matter with this pre-clear? You just processed him right straight at his acceptance level of himself, a Thetan, nothing, not knowingness. Nothing. Doesn't know he's there. That's his acceptance level. Q&A. So when we get into definitions, what's the acceptance level, really, of a person in the form of knowledge? What's his acceptance level of knowledge? Well, Q&A. It'd be more or less what he already knew. If you go down to the library,
You look into the shelves in philosophy, you will find somebody has underscored one of those books there, I'm sure of it. You will find that the greatest platitudes ever uttered are underscored, and the wisest things ever said are left alone. Somebody has underscored and doted on and clutched to his heart and carried around with him forevermore. There are wise men in the world, it said there. It says there, he's agreed this, there are wise men in the world, and this is a great piece of wisdom to him. Why? Because he thought of it. He thought of it, and then he read it in the book. The book agreed with him. He's all set now. The book has sort of identified him. What's his acceptance level of all this wisdom in this book? Something he thought of already. Well, why is he, what kind of shape's he in? Well, he's in horrible shape. Well, what's acceptable to him? Horrible shape, of course. But socially, everybody says he ought to be well, so he tries to agree socially, overtly, and then covertly tries to be acceptable to himself. Between these two things, you find your preclear hung up. In terms of teaching Dianetics and Scientology to anybody, trying to make them understand it, it actually is done, more or less, with a pneumatic drill or something at first on the subject of definitions. The person natively knows all this material. And it isn't acceptable to him anymore, because what's acceptable to him is not knowing this, because that's the only way he can be irresponsible. If he knows, he has to be responsible. So he avoids being responsible by not knowing. How simple. Now you see, you're not responsible for the house burning down if you didn't know that the electric iron was on in the kitchen, because you never went into the kitchen. That wasn't your quarters, and somebody left the electric iron in the kitchen. You didn't even know it was on. And the house burned down. It isn't your fault. So if you knew it was on, however, and you came around afterwards, the house is burned down, and you said, yes, I knew the electric iron was on. Maybe you really did know the electric iron was on, you see, but you'd really bury that from yourself so that you wouldn't have to be responsible for the house having burned down. See, acceptance level, knowingness. The acceptance level of the public, you're acceptable as long as you don't know something which brought bad consequences. You didn't know anything about it. Now, they even excuse a murderer who says, well, I didn't know the gun was loaded. I knew it blew his head up, but I didn't know it was loaded. The gun never had been loaded. They write down a coroner's report, accidental death. Has nothing to do with it, the fact that the fellow had it. For years and years and years, privately said to himself, the happiest moment of his life would be when the fellow whose head he did blow up had his head blown off. He didn't know about it. A Thetan can't perceive in through the barrel of a gun. See, there's a shell in there. Not much. Level of knowingness. So when an individual leads you forward into knowledge, he first has to lead you forward into what is acceptable to you. To ask you in one fell swoop to take upon yourselves the full responsibility for everything that's going to happen for the next 18 billion years would be to ask you to dive under the avalanche and get smashed. Couldn't. It's impossible. But there's a gradient scale to all these things. The first point on the scale is that you might possibly be there. That would be the first entrance to the gradient scale. And we could go on from there theoretically and go up the line. Well, there's an earlier point of entrance, and that's data. We're dealing, in essence, with certainty. Therefore, we deal with a simple definition. Certainty is itself knowledge. Knowledge is certainty. A person can be taught to quote by rote an entire geometry textbook and know no geometry. If you don't believe this, try taking an examination on geometry today. And you'll find out that it's all sort of fled. Because you weren't certain of this or certain of quadratics. You could simply put them together. So it wasn't knowledge. It was just data. What is knowledge to you? Is it a datum? No, it isn't a datum. It is a condition of certainty. And certainty itself is knowingness. And knowingness itself is just knowingness. That's all. So you can always get a certain level of certainty. Now, the first level of certainty that an individual achieves is data certainty. Ordinarily, an auditor under instruction goes through these phases. He gets, first, data certainty. Something in one of the texts, something in a lecture, something on a tape, suddenly he says, you know I'm certain of that? Bing. It's like a spark. It's like a tiny explosion someplace. He suddenly joins forces with a greater sphere of knowledge than that to which he has been formerly allied. His certainty has progressed in terms of data. So first there's data certainty. And the individual studies along and he sees how these things can be true. He likes the reason. He likes the idea, the orderliness behind all this. It carries him forward for quite some time. Data certainty. And then one day he sees the data work on another. He didn't do it. He sees the data work on another. And so he has an applied certainty of a certain law order. His certainty, yes, it was done to so-and-so, and something happened to that person. So there's a result certainty. And then something happens to himself, his own case, his own being, as he gets in advance to this degree, that he himself becomes certain, this is the first entering certainty, he just merely becomes certain that something can happen. He isn't even certain that anything has happened. He's just certain all of a sudden that something can happen. And then he himself goes ahead, his case progresses a bit, and he takes the processes himself, and he applies them to somebody else, and instead of this other person being maybe this and maybe that and so forth, he doesn't have to listen to the other person's opinion. The process is fast enough so that he can sit there and look at the pre-clear change. Look at the face shape change. Look at the body shape change. The eye expression change. He can watch this happen. And furthermore, he can begin to get a greater and greater perception of the other person's beingness. In other words, the other person's beingness is increasing. And he gets this type of certainty. And at last, by these certainties, he eventually arrives at a level where he himself is very certain, not only what his case is, not only what he can do, but just certain. And in that itself is poise, confidence, all these things. An individual is as well off as he is poised. An individual is as well off as he has confidence in what he can do. He's no better off than that. And he has these things to the degree that he has a certainty. You can take a large mass of people and give them some sweeping vision, a hope that is so great that it is overpowering to them. And upon this certainty, they will go forward. In such a wise, many groups and much of civilization has gone forward in the last 2,000 years. A group of people received a tremendous certainty and then went forward from that certainty. That's a pretty low order of certainty, if you want my candid opinion. But it gives you some sort of an idea of what I'm talking about. There was a second-hand certainty. They just became certain something had happened. Well, your pre-clear is so eager for certainties, he's usually hung up on the track where he was certain something good happened, and you ask him for this bad thing and that bad thing and some other bad thing, and you keep asking for bad things this way and that way. They never appear. I mean, you get them. Case doesn't get much better. He doesn't get much better. Nothing much is changing. You're sort of wondering what's happening here. Boy, this poor fellow's holding on to one certainty. One certainty. One time a yogi that he hardly knew asked him a question, and he felt a bright light start glowing in front of his face, and he was in wonderful condition for 3 days, and after that he lost it, but he remembers it, and that was the biggest certainty he ever had. Right there. That's the biggest mental certainty he ever had. And you're going to process him, huh? Well, sitting between you and he is this tremendous certainty. He has had a great experience. He's going to sit around the rest of his life hoping for it to happen again. And there's your other barrier to certainties and barriers to processing. Past certainties are better than future certainties to such people. Now, individuals can be given hope and so get well. Individuals who no longer have hope can pray. You know, that's to pray for hope. That's getting... When they can't any longer even pray for hope, they're real dead. They're real dead. An individual has this wonderful factor. He's living in a two-terminal universe. This universe is in terms of twos, whether it's male, female, the sun and the planet, God and the devil. It doesn't matter what you look at. You'll see it's in terms of twos if it's there at all. And he's living in this universe in terms of twos, and he conceives himself, who can also be two, by the way, but he mustn't duplicate himself. That's one of the first things he learned. Dangerous knowledge. But he looks at himself, a single being, and he has nothing by which he can compare his certainty to. He's running on a single certainty. Everything else is two, but he's got a single certainty. Now, I don't mean one single incident. I mean he's just one fellow. He can be as certain as he's certain. He can't see how certain somebody else is. He knows how certain he is. So therefore, he can miss very easily this thing called certainty. And he can sit and run a preclear for hours, or he can be run himself for hours on the darndest, lowest, swampiest grade of certainty you ever heard of, and think that he's perfectly certain. Till all of a sudden, the auditor asks him, he says, are you certain it's really being wasted? Oh, the fellow says, yes. Darius says, no, really, now, are you really certain that you're wasting that? Because the fellow just wasted it in brackets, running old S-O-P-A-D. Oh, well, yeah, just thrown away. Well, now, think it over for a moment. Are you certain that you're wasting it? Well, no. Am I really supposed to waste it? Yes. Well, the fellow goes to work on it. He thinks it over for a little while. Let's see, is something really wasted or isn't it wasted? All of a sudden, his case starts to go forward. You've given him the first jog, but he isn't just riding in the same plane. Well, what is awareness? You all would like greater awareness, greater perception. At the same time, you would like an awful lot less perception. You know, some things you've got to have less perception on, some you've got to have more perception on. You get a pre-clear in, he prays with you all the time. He says, please, please, he's praying with you. Please give me a sedative. Isn't there some way you could knock me out and do all this while I'm asleep? You know, I mean, we just, less awareness. His goal is to become nothing, to pass out, to have no knowledge. Now, if we want greater perception, we have to be willing to have greater awareness. At the same time, that betokens greater knowledge. So what's it add up to? Certainty. All the way across the boards. We can make an individual more and more and more and more certain. We can make him certain by producing an effect upon him, which is to a betterment of his condition. That we can make him certain about. The first thing we can make him certain about is that we can communicate with him. And the first thing under instruction that we would do would be to demonstrate to an individual that he could understand what was being said. And we do that by getting an agreement of definition. All good instruction starts really with good definition. But today in Scientology, there are very, very few words which are strange. There is a word which means physical universe. More and more I use physical universe. But physical universe is not articulate. It is not a nice, embracive word. So we use the word MEST. M-E-S-T, matter, energy, space, and time. That's the physical universe. If we don't say M-E-S-T, we say physical universe, we give somebody an understanding of some other kind of a physical universe, material objects. We permit him to dodge away from the things we've got to make him look at. We've got to make him look at space. Do you know that about 50-60% of the pre-clears that you get have no concept of space at all? They don't have any space? You say, get a little space out there, make some space, put out 8 anchor points, they probably get sick at their stomachs. Some of them get so violently sick at their stomachs, they'll go immediately and lose their cookies. Why? You want them to have a little space, and you think physical universe is going to convey to them the idea of space. It won't. So you use MEST, and we still use this word MEST. It merely means matter, energy, space, and time, physical universe. But it makes the individual look at all those four. Time is part of the physical universe, isn't part of your universe. And so, it is with all of these definitions, but there are very few these days. Very few. If you want to look for a hidden significance behind anything, in one of these definitions or in what I'm saying, if you want to look real hard, you can undoubtedly find it. Undoubtedly. And when you do, why, tell me too, so I'll know it's there. Because none of these things are said with any hidden significance. They are said as they are. When I say an individual gets well, I don't play tag with you and qualify all this immediately afterwards by saying, well,
of course that is understood to mean that he will have a remission and he won't have to come back to the office for over 2 weeks. You know, psychiatric definition of getting well.
Had a remission. What's a remission? Well, that means he didn't have to be in the sanitarium for a month.
You know, we're not talking in hidden, circuitous meanings here at all. We're not even talking in the field of psychiatry. Really, we're not talking in the field of religion. We're talking in a new field. We're talking in the field of you and the beingness of life itself. Therefore, you can't rely on earlier sciences to give you these definitions. That this can be conveyed in English is itself a triumph. It is probably the greatest single triumph of Scientology, that it is communicable in English. Fantastic, but it is. It means what it means. It doesn't mean anything else.
You say 3 feet back of your head.
You don't mean 3 feet and a half. You don't mean 8 feet. You don't mean back of the head of the clock. Nothing like that. You simply mean that this individual himself is to appear at a point 3 feet back of his head and know he's there just as well as he knows before you said it to him that he was sitting in the chair in his body. Now, you get some people who argue like mad about this. Well, how are you supposed to know? Now, I'm back there, all right. What is the hidden significance of all this? The more we work, the less significance there is. The greater beingness there is, the greater power, the greater happiness on the part of the individual, the greater knowledge of an individual's single capabilities, and the less significance behind things. How significant can you get? Black and dead. That's real significant. I don't know what it means, really, unless it means black and dead. But the closer a person gets to blackness and death, the greater significance he starts to read into everything, the more meaning he has to have. Do you know that case after case has broken simply because the auditor made the individual do something without any reason? He said, all right, now, just without any reason, I'll just walk over to the window,
Winkler says.
Why? No, just walk over to the window.
Walk over to the window, look.
I couldn't do that. I haven't got any reason to go to the window.
Well, go on, walk over to the window.
Now, not because I tell you to, but just walk over to the window. You know, it's just a suggestion that you... Felt very suspicious of this whole thing, you know? Must be some real deep significance in it. He walks over to the window. He looks out.
All of a sudden realizes he did something. He actually did something without a reason. Oh, heavens on earth. What? Can this be he?
And breathe a sigh of relief and get a bigger certainty on existence all over the place. He's gotten his first certainty. It just might be that there doesn't have to be a reason for everything. This just might be. Now, you get some case that's all but uncrackable. He always wants to know, well, that's all right, and you could make me feel better and everything, but why was the messed universe created in the first place? Now, tell me that.
Significance.
So the definitions are what they are. They say what they say. They don't say anything else. And there's no deeper significance behind it. You would make your biggest single advancement in the study of Scientology to realize that it means what it means and exactly has said what it means. And that's all it means. If that was a soul, he's in a body. He didn't know that before, but he knows it after you get popping 3 feet out and he finds himself looking at his body. You run his perceptions up, you make him feel better, and he is better, and he's liver, and he can do more things, and he can handle bodies, and he can create things that he couldn't create before, and all of his basic goals can be obtained, and that sort of thing. He realizes all this. And there's less and less significance to things, and there's greater and greater happiness. You could say the greatest happiness there is would be to discover there wasn't any significance to anything. That would give you complete liberty to do as you pleased, and that in itself is a freedom in knowledge. So try not to read too deep a significance into what I'm saying. All right. After a very short break here, we are going to start the first of these processes. Now, I notice here that there's an awful lot of titles for lectures. I noticed this happened here. I remember writing them down when the editor came in. Editor Journal rushed in and said, you've got to give me the list of your lectures and things. So I just wrote these down like this. And that's a very good outline. There's no doubt about that. Very significant. But I would very, very much better like to show you
than to give you a bunch of symbols for you to disentangle. And so, whatever these say, the only thing I can promise you absolutely is going to happen. I can promise you this is going to happen. But I'm going to give you an awful lot of group processing, that you're going to get a lot of group processing while you're here. I hope you don't think that's too bad an idea.